Right. My focus is the people here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
Most definitely is right. Join us on the line right now. Good afternoon. Managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Justin, I want to start off with this latest of the Channel 12 story, the ongoing saga that started early June regarding when Channel 12, Tim White, Ted Nesi broke the story with Frank Montanaro, this whole business of the tuition waiver. It had some life in June. It quieted down a little bit. The last we had heard, they felt that the story was going away. And then we learn now that the Rhode Island State Police have, in fact, begun an investigation after a request from the Attorney General's office, Peter Kilmartin, into this whole situation with Montanaro. I find it interesting that, according to the speaker's spokesperson, he was unaware that Frank Montanaro met with the Rhode Island State Police on Friday afternoon to walk through in the beginning of this and answer some questions on this investigation. I'd love to get your latest thoughts on this whole Montanaro-Mattiello saga.
Well, as you say, the speaker's office says they don't know anything about it. I'm kind of skeptical of the investigation. Frankly, I suspect we'll just get it. You know, it'll be an all clear kind of signal. Sort of in a sense, like we saw with 38 Studios. We looked through everything and there was nothing here. Move on, everybody. It's interesting that it would take this long to get to that point if that is indeed the case. But it's good that they're investigating anyway, I guess, you know, find out if there's wrongdoing or put the matter to rest. And that way it's not hanging over everybody. I'm still waiting to hear how he's going to pay back the $50,000. That's the interesting detail, I think.
And for those that, again, are unfamiliar with the story, but he is the handpicked top administrator for Speaker Mattiello. He has in charge of the JCLS budget of $40 million. Do you feel, now Brandon Bell joined me yesterday, he feels that he should either resign or be fired. I spoke with Representative Jared Nunes that also said that Montanaro, now under state police investigation, should either resign or be fired. I spoke with Mike Smith, the Republican running for Senate President Teresa Pivot-Weed's seat, where today it's primary day. He also feels he should either resign or be fired. Do you think, based on the circumstances as we know them and the documents released from URI that clearly showed six documents that showed fraud, he gave a fraudulent answer, do you feel that he should, in fact, be either fired or resign? Governor Raimondo said that if Montanaro worked for her, she would have asked for his resignation. Do you, based on that, and a top aide making $156,000, should he resign or should he be fired?
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's interesting, I don't necessarily agree that he should resign or be fired because he's under an investigation. We should have, it's amazing that we've lost sight of this in Rhode Island, but you should have a higher standard for what allows you to keep your job than
yes.
Being arrested or under investigation. I mean, that is the same thing with elected officials. The people voting for them should have a higher standard than whether or not the person's under investigation. So as soon as first of all, the whole leave to protect thing, where he got to keep his job on paper at Rhode Island College to keep getting this benefit, that alone should have started to raise questions. Once it was shown that he had filled out forms, fraudulently, he claimed that, you know, he was instructed to do it that way. But as soon as that, there was something on paper and it was clear that there was something not kosher, that should have just been it. I'm sorry, I don't have the public confidence anymore, therefore I'm resigning my position. Or Mattiello should have said, he's got to go. We can't have this on our staff. We have to have the highest credibility with the people. That's been my opinion for a month anyway. The idea of the investigation only adds another layer to that. And it's possible that, as I was alluding to earlier, that part of the intention of the investigation is to just make the whole thing look clean and go away. If that turns out to be the conclusion of the state police.
Okay.
And, you know,
we're going to agree to disagree on this, because to me, the last thing Kilmartin's office or the state police want is another 38 studios where there's all this type of thing, and then, you know, nothing comes of it. We're gonna disagree. I'm saying this is gonna lead somewhere. It is gonna lead to a grand jury. There was some other people involved here, and I think ultimately we're gonna end up with a different speaker. So we can go on record. And again, we don't have to agree on everything. I'm gonna agree to disagree with you, but I believe there's more here. I don't think they'd be going forward if there wasn't more here. I know that the people of Rhode Island College are not going to play ball and risk careers and everything else in lying to the state police. So we're going to agree to disagree on this. But I think there is some more here. But I want to give you the final word, and then we're going to go on to some other stories in the news.
Let me make it clear. I'm not saying that there isn't anything there or predicting that they won't find anything. I'm just expressing a little bit of skepticism. You know, after the 38 studios, after the no-bid contract for diversity contract to Raimondo Doner from the state police, after all, the way she's generally run her government, I know this is Kilmartin instigated this, but I just, maybe it's the Rhode Island skepticism. I fear that there's nothing going to come of it.
Okay. I mean, Gallison is in federal prison. Gordon Fox is in federal prison. Carnevale's still under investigation. Kevin Jackson's under investigation. I'm not saying that there aren't some things that shake out certain ways, but there has been certainly an element here of where there have been some people held accountable. So we'll leave it at that. But I want to move on, Justin, on your thoughts that this whole summit that's taking place today between supposedly Mattiello and Senate President Dominic Ruggiero. Folks, also, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Managing Editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. You can also join us Facebook Live. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. Click the like button, and you can follow along with Facebook Live. But this whole business, and I'm glad that yesterday the head of the Republican Party, Brandon Bell, Justin, spoke out and said it's actually against the provisions that these two people, you know, what is this? What happened to open meetings laws? They're going to be meeting off-site. They won't give out where they're meeting. They won't talk about what they're discussing. Obviously, there's going to be some kind of deal in the mix. What do you make of this whole thawing out that they ran into each other last Thursday night at a Young Democrat thing? They spoke on Friday afternoon, and now, you know, they're meeting somewhere in the state today.
Well, it makes me think of in your bumper where it says, is Providence still crime town? It has that crime town feel, doesn't it?
It does.
Meeting in a quiet location.
Office. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking back to The Godfather, and I hope both of them check behind the toilets in the men's room to make sure there's nothing taped back there. But this isn't how it ought to run. That's the conundrum that living in a fundamentally unethical place puts you in is, you know, it shouldn't all come down to these two people and their personalities and their own personal interactions. That shouldn't be how it is. It's probably better that they're moving toward resolution than not, but it shouldn't have come down to this. Everything should have been happening openly and honestly and right out in front. And it's really been a very clarifying session in that regard. I mean, these are things that for years following the General Assembly, I would tell people, this is how it works. And, you know, maybe not. But we're really seeing how it works. It comes down to a couple of people and whatever they might decide over Adele's lemonade, if that's where they go. And that's just not a healthy situation. And more than any direct attack on these particular people, this ought to wake up the electorate, wake up Rhode Islanders to say, you know what, maybe it's time to start shaking things up a little bit, maybe term limits, maybe insisting that, you know, we put in people who don't automatically vote with the speaker or the president, Senate president, and maybe that'll get us more of this transparency and clarity that we all seem to want.
I don't understand, Justin, how this violates open meetings laws. I mean, if they had some kind of personal beef, they did run into each other last Thursday night, but let's face it, this is all the makings of a backroom deal. Obviously there's something going on here, and how this is then not going to take place, A, at the State House, in open session, if there is a disagreement on the budget, why isn't it being hashed out that way? I have a problem with the nature of which this discussion is even taking place, because there have been other recent incidents in the news where people scream about, you know, they can't meet behind closed doors and open meeting laws and everything else, and yet a lot of the people that make those types of accusations seem silent on this.
Well, the part of the problem is the way these open meetings laws are structured, and the way we let things actually happen in Rhode Island with a kind of a wink and a nod. I mean, we talk about handshake and hug, but there's the wink and a nod and the, you know, technically I would think the Speaker and the Senate President don't really, aren't on paper, don't have authority to make any decisions together. So, for example, you can communicate, people on, in a, say, a town board can communicate with each other off-site,
yep,
as long as it isn't a quorum. So if the President and the Speaker don't have a don't constitute a quorum of their bodies, which they really shouldn't, I mean, you, elected officials need to be able to talk, you know, not sometimes not in front of a camera, for example.
Sure.
But in this case, the problem is that we've let it get to the point that we all know these two people call the shots.
Yes.
For the legislature.
Yep.
And so that they are, in fact, a quorum, you know, in practice, but not on paper. And that making that the paper actually apply to the way things are done, the rules actually apply to the way we do our government, that's the key point here. And it does have this shady feel. But on the other hand, you know, you think of President Reagan meeting with Tip O'Neill, you know, or something like that. People do have to have conversations.
Sure.
So that part I'm not, you know, necessarily concerned about. It's the fact that this one meeting between these people has such a huge impact.
Yes.
When we all, you know, a few thousand people elected these two people.
Yes.
Not the entire state of Rhode Island. That's,
yeah,
that's the scandal. And that, anything that can put that in the limelight is important.
Folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, also, it's in this morning's Providence Journal that Bob Flanders, Judge Flanders, has put $100,000 of his own money into his campaign, loaned his campaign $100,000. You know, it's interesting. Last week, someone who is part of the Nardalillo camp, so to speak, or just someone who's friendly with Representative Bobby Nardalillo was saying, oh, Flanders, he's not putting any of his own money in and blah, blah, blah. And it's clearly not true. I'd like to get what type of statement do you think it makes when someone like a Judge Flanders steps up? Now, he's still exploring the Senate run, but boom, puts $100,000 down on the table.
Well, it's certainly a show of his own interest. You know, you could see somebody of his prominence in the public being kind of drawn toward this. And if all the donations are outside, you could think there were maybe some kingmakers trying to get him to run and saying, hell, look, we'll pay for this. And but if he's putting in that much money, I mean, that's pretty much how much he's raised altogether, doubling. He's now doubling what he has on hand.
Yes.
It's a strong indication. So anybody who's a fan of his as a candidate should have see some encouragement here. And also, it does start to bring it up to an amount that we've talked before about how we both think that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is beatable.
Yes.
Sure, he has he's raised, so if Flanders raised about $100,000 in 3 months, he raised, well, I think it was $750 million, something like that. But of course, almost all of that's from out of state, and he can sell influence. But
yeah,
you don't, an insurgent against a weak candidate, as I see him, like Sheldon Whitehouse, doesn't need to keep toe to toe. So the fact that Flanders has raised $100,000 of his own and put in $100,000 of his own money, that indicates that there is a race to be run, and Whitehouse's weaknesses can be exploited.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, then when you look at the numbers, I mean, Whitehouse is, you know, before Flanders is going to take on Whitehouse, first you've got to get past Nardalillo. But when you see Nardalillo has raised $30,000, spent $9,000, loaned his campaign $2,000, and then you see Flanders raised $93,000 and then loaned his campaign $100,000, ends the quarter with $185,000 on hand. I think it starts to, if you're a Republican and you're looking right now at Flanders and Nardalillo, Nardalillo has $30,000. Flanders, who has not announced he's actually in, has $185,000. To me, that makes a loud statement, like, exactly who you're dealing with here, right? I mean, if you have $185,000 and you're reaching out to someone to donate money to the campaign, I think you feel more confident doing that when you've already stepped up and put $100,000 down. Nothing against Representative Nardalillo, but someone sitting there that only put up $2,000 of their own money.
Right. Well, his own money is just, to me, an indication that he's interested. I mean, I mean, that's a big if for donors, whether the candidate's really into it or if they're just kind of being forced into it. But I was more impressed to discover Flanders has gotten, on average, over 3 months, over $30,000 a month.
Yeah.
So that just shows people interested in his run.
Right. And he's not even officially in the race. That is a very, very good point.
Exactly.
He's not even officially in the race. We're going to ask Justin to hold on one moment, and then we're going to come back to him. Folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. Hello to Kenya McCarthy. I also want to thank Dennis, who shared the video, and everyone. We love everyone that follows us on Facebook Live. We're going to come back to Justin and speak to him in just a moment. But, folks, you can tell, boy, the weather is changing. The hazy, hot, humid weather, it is here without question, and it's only going to get worse. So why not make today the day that you pick up the phone and call, you guessed it, JKL Engineering. Call them today for a free estimate. Call JKL 351-7600, 351-7600, JKL Engineering. Let them design and install a carrier infinity system for your home or business. These carrier systems have the highest rebates on the market. They're quiet, they're energy efficient, and you could save over 50% on your energy bills just by having JKL replace that old clunker. JKL Engineering. They also specialize complete commercial rooftop systems, design to the ductwork, installation, and service. Replacements of these units can be done in a matter of hours, as well as the ductless split systems. Call JKL today for a free estimate, 351-7600. JKL Engineering, they're licensed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, 351-7600. Call JKL Engineering today for a free estimate, 351-7600. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back more with Justin Katz. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Art Verdi. Hoping you'll join me Sunday mornings at 7 for Art & Company. Each week we'll feature a special guest to fill you in on everything from programs and services available to area seniors to what's going on in the Newport Faith community to fun things to do at Newport's Ballard Park. Don't miss an action-packed minute. Join us for Art & Company Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1540 WADK.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Folks, you can take control of your health care. Eastside Clinical Laboratory offers you relief from the high cost of laboratory testing. Eastside Clinical offers you the same accurate testing results without big hospital costs. Why should you use an independent testing lab like Eastside Clinical? Even if your doctor is a hospital employee, you still have the freedom to use whichever lab you choose. And as long as that lab is a participating provider for your insurance, an Eastside Clinical participating provider for all your insurance plans in Rhode Island, by using an independent provider instead of a hospital-affiliated provider for testing procedures, the overall costs are lower and your out-of-pocket costs much lower, too. More information about the benefits of independent lab services, answers to other questions, and to locate a convenient Eastside Clinical location, visit labchoice.org. Remember, that's labchoice.org.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on the John DePietro Show. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's John DePietro. Each afternoon, 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540. And it's WADK. We're speaking with managing editor of Ocean State Current, our friend Justin Katz. Justin, Morning Consult is out with a new poll. Governor Raimondo, second least popular governor in New England behind, well, only Dan Malloy, who was wildly unpopular in Connecticut, at only 25%. She's now what they call, and you're familiar with the phrase, but underwater, where her disapproval is closer to 50%. Compared to her approval, you know, she won with 40%, and they show her approval rating at 43%. It's so interesting to me, Justin, that you have next door Charlie Baker, governor of Massachusetts, 71% approval rating. And they even mention that Governor Raimondo faces a very tough road and path for reelection. I'd love to get your thoughts on these new morning consult numbers.
Right. Well, the context here is that she's now back underwater, and she's actually not as bad as she was last September, where she had something like 53% disapproval, I think it was, and 33% approval.
Yep.
So the April numbers that had flipped were actually, now that's the aberration. So she's remained underwater, and I'm a little bit. I almost see a national context here. Last week, I think it was, we talked about the drop in approval on the same poll for Senator Whitehouse and Senator Reid.
Correct.
And you would think at this point, the Trump presidency, we'd be going in the other direction for opposition, the opposition party, and that's been really surprising to me. But yeah, it's an indication that whatever was happening in April to boost her to a net positive, seems to be fading. And if this trend continues and gets outside of, right now we're still within the margin of error for the poll results. But if it gets outside of the margin of error, that's a bad signal for her and a good signal for anybody who's eyeing her seat in the next election.
This morning on Twitter, the Progressive Rhode Island, they tweeted, they're not a fan of Raimondo, even though she calls herself a progressive. And they said they're still open to hear what Lincoln Chafee has to say. Now, again, we're a long way out. Well, actually, I want to be clear to people that we're not as far off as we think. I think after Labor Day, we're going to start to see some people start to announce, because then you're a year out from a primary. So, you know, there are three Republicans right now kind of circling, Fung, Trillo, and Patricia Morgan. I think after Labor Day, you're going to start to hear some people announce. Clay Pell announced the latest 4 years ago when he announced it wasn't until either January or early February that he was in on this. So if someone was going to challenge Raimondo, if you were to announce sometime in September, October, that's, you know, within the year of then a primary, and she has one legislative session left. What is your take? You know, Chafee's been lying low. I still don't see him going against her in a primary. I see the progressives using him as a stalking horse to try to get from her what they want. But I just don't think, and I want to know your thought, but I just don't think Chafee puts himself in a position to get beaten by her in a Democrat primary. I think if he runs, and I'm still not convinced he runs, he would do it. He'd want to run independent and go in a general. What's your thought?
I think he's proven willing to play that game of the stalking horse, as you called it, and certainly it doesn't hurt the progressives to try to leave that possibility out there. So I think we'll hear a lot of that. And when it comes to it, I think you're right. I think he's going to be very reluctant. I mean, he lost he was essentially lost in a re-election by his complete lack of approval as a governor.
That's right.
And then he became a kind of a national joke with nighttime TV hosts talking about striving to get him to 1% of the vote in his bid for president. So it'd be kind of surprising if he really jumped into an iffy situation like that, especially in a primary, and even if it were for independent run for office. I'd want to see a lot more evidence that he'd have a good shot before I'd expect he might jump back in. So he'll hover around. He'll pop in whenever he's got something he wants to promote, and I'm sure anybody who wants to threaten her with a primary, he may be a name that they throw out there.
Are you surprised, Justin, that no other Democrat has stepped forward? Because obviously, Raimondo is showing some cracks in the iron here. And are you surprised that no other Democrat has even hinted that they may challenge her in a primary?
It is a bit surprising, although I know a lot of people when she ran were expecting the, you know, pension reform lady to show up and govern. And instead we get free tuition lady. So I think she's been holding off a lot of the primary situation from the left, largely by kowtowing to them, and dealing sort of on a national stage. I know we've talked about how she gets beautiful coverage everywhere else in the country, but
yes.
Rhode Island, which brings you back to Minority Leader Patricia Morgan's inquiry into
yes.
how much we're paying for promotion of her outside of the state.
Yeah.
So she's been playing that game, and a lot of the incentive for progressives locally comes from national. If you look at, you know, say Regenberg or White House or any of the sort of left wing Rhode Island politicians, a large percentage of their revenue comes from their donations, come from out of the state.
Yes.
And also national organizations send in money.
Good point.
To this area to shore it up, especially, I mean, look at just at the Democrat Governors Association spending so much on Gina Raimondo recently. So the national stage, I think, has a thumb on that scale. And we've seen the teachers unions, which is essentially one of the ringleaders for the progressives in Rhode Island, a few months ago anyway, expressing more confidence in her that they wouldn't primary her. So for grassroots progressives and from Rhode Island, sort of our native breed of the progressives, they might find it difficult to get much institutional support unless Raimondo switches in some regards and starts to try to shore up her right wing base a little bit.
One final thought, Justin, before we let you go. And folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It is interesting. New York Times, they talk about Governor Terry McAuliffe of Virginia, chairman of the National Governors Association, led a panel that had Trudeau on it and also the Tesla entrepreneur. And then it says, with an eye towards raising his profile. And then the New York Times says, the host governor, Gina Raimondo of Rhode Island, may also be open to a presidential run. Raimondo noting, quote, all I'm doing is jobs, recalled with a touch of how she recently gave an economic speech, was told afterwards by attendees it was too risky to have that pro-growth, pro-job message as a Democrat. You know, it's interesting, Justin, I'll let you go on this note, but Gina Raimondo, Governor Raimondo, on the national stage, when you see her in her element, the element as far as this past weekend, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, entertaining the national governors coming in, meeting with Justin Trudeau, far more comfortable on the national stage and in that role than, say, like a Governor Chafee. Governor Kacheri was good at that. But her biggest problem does not seem to be sitting down and handling herself, whether it's out in Silicon Valley or with the Prime Minister of Canada. Her biggest problem is just trying to govern and run things here in the state and getting the Johnston, Cranston, North Providence crowd to like her. She certainly seems to have captured the imagination of Washington, New York, Chicago, and Silicon Valley. But, boy, she's having a tough time with the old 1025 crowd. I'll give you the last word on this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could definitely see her attending Davos over in Switzerland, you know, with all the global elite. That's where she wants to run. It's
yes.
clear in the way she presents herself. But she's not very good at governing.
No.
Probably in large part because she doesn't understand the people. I mean, she doesn't
That's
understand
right.
the folks who just live around the state and want somebody who thought they were hiring somebody to help get their state in order, not rub shoulders with Canadian prime ministers with strange socks. I mean, so I agree. That's where she's comfortable. And
yeah.
if that's what comes out in the gubernatorial race, she could definitely have some real problems.
Right.
You know, but beyond not being able to run the state.
But the next level doesn't happen unless she's reelected in 2018. Folks, he is managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, as always, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again. All right, folks, we have thank you, Justin. Folks, we have a great guest we're going to talk to in just a moment, and I'm going to introduce him, especially East Greenwich individual from East Greenwich, also attended Boston College. He is on the Forbes 30 Under 30. You're going to hear from him in just a moment, but it's John DePietro, and I want to remind you, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, what a tremendous job they do, located Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. You can call them at 295-4399. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. Look for the magnificent outdoor display. They're open 7 days a week, and especially this time of year, you should pop by. It's the state's top garden center. Beautiful hydrangeas, all colors. Sunflowers in bloom, perennial hibiscus bush, assorted colors. It's just tremendous. Remember, all locally grown, homegrown, as Junior likes to say. Remember, buy local. Excellent quality and less expensive since they grow locally. Plus, landscape construction, mulch delivery, installation, loam, mulch, screen loam, annuals, perennials. Full line of landscape materials. Stop in today. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. They're right down the street from Tarbox, and they're diagonally across from Allie's Donuts. Look for the magnificent outdoor display. What really gets me is just the colors, the amount of colors they have. Check out those hydrangeas. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. All right, joining us on the phone right now is Akash Chugli. Did I pronounce that correctly, Akash?
Yep, close enough.
Close enough. Well, how do you pronounce it? I want to make sure I pronounce your name correctly.
Chugli.
Akash Chugli. Just like that. That's fine?
Yep.
Okay. Folks, he is Director of Policy, 30 under 30, for the tell us a little bit about your organization.
Sure. So I work at Americans for Prosperity, which is the largest free market grassroots advocacy organization in the country. So I'm based down at our national office in the Washington, D.C. area, but we have 36 state chapters around the country. Unfortunately, we don't have one in Rhode Island, but basically what Americans for Prosperity exists to do is, you just had on Justin Katz, your previous guest. I actually used to work at the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity with Justin and Mike Stenhouse.
Yep.
So what we do is take the ideas that groups like that, groups here in D.C., like the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, think tanks churn out these ideas. And what we do is we have a little bit more leverage to take those ideas and put them into action with the grassroots activism, with direct lobbying of lawmakers, of holding people, holding legislators accountable for and against specific pieces of legislation and put those ideas into action.
Now, I noticed that you still follow Rhode Island politics pretty closely. What do you make of this morning consult poll? You have right now, first of all, you have Governor Raimondo, you have Democrat Nick Mattiello, the Speaker, also Democrat President of the Senate Dominic Ruggiero. You also then have Reid, White House. All of their approval ratings are down in this morning consult. You have three Democrats running the Rhode Island State House, and nothing. They can't even sit in the same room and get anything done, Akash.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I know enough about the intricacies of what's happening in the State House to comment on that. But as far as their approval ratings go, I think that's probably a pretty encouraging sign, just given what a bad job they're doing turning the state's economy around. I think Justin touched on a lot of what, you know, Governor Raimondo has simply floundered in the things that got her into office, her experience, you know, on the economic side of things, to be able to get, you know, job creation going again. That's simply not what she has done. She's embraced this big government, crony capitalist, union-driven agenda, which obviously has not worked. And then I was particularly pleased to see the lack of support for Sheldon Whitehouse. I mean, last Friday I was on the coalition on at Go Local Prof talking a little bit about the issues that he has carved out for himself here in Washington, D.C., climate change, going after so-called dark money, just blatant attacks on free speech, blatant attacks on donor privacy. It's an absolute, you know, failure of leadership. He's an absolute embarrassment in terms of a lack of focus on the issues that Rhode Islanders care about, like jobs and the economy. And so to see people, you know, truly understand that he's not delivering for them is pretty encouraging. And what I'm hoping for is to see folks who are running on a real pro-growth, free-market agenda, one of opportunity, job creation, and economic mobility, rise to the top and be able to convince voters that that's the direction to go in, rather than the Raimondo White House direction that we've been going in the state for far too long.
Isn't it amazing, or what is your thought, how Rhode Island could turn around the way Wisconsin's doing very well, but if Rhode Island ever became a right-to-work state, the next closest state to Rhode Island that's a right-to-work state is Ohio. When you look at the number of places where they're adding jobs, where people are moving, it's right-to-work states. It's incredible how we don't have anyone even voicing that, that's an elected position, to go against the unions and try to fight for Rhode Island to become a right-to-work state.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's obviously a game-changing reform. And you mentioned there isn't a state close to Rhode Island that's done it. New Hampshire has gotten very, very close a couple of times. 2011, it was vetoed by the governor. This year, they fell just a couple votes short of getting it passed. But I think I would make two comments. One, there is momentum. I mean, we're now at 28 states have done this, six in the past 6 years. That's more states that have passed right to work in the past 6 years than in the previous 50 years before then. But I think it is probably a little bit realistic to, unrealistic to expect Rhode Island to be able to do that today, just given the amount of influence that government unions, private sector unions do have on our political system. I think the idea is absolutely worth talking about. I think what they need to be doing in the interim is making incremental gains to improve worker freedom, to improve the regulatory code, to improve the tax climate, and hopefully labor reform will come along the way with that. But I think there's a lot that can be done between today and the day that we can pass right to work years from now to make Rhode Island more competitive. And all of it involves shrinking the influence of government on our state's economy, giving ourselves some advantages that, you know, Massachusetts has over us, Connecticut has over us, other states that we're competing with have over us, making Rhode Island competitive again, and doing so by moving in a more free market direction.
You know, I follow you on Twitter. Talk a little bit about the Employee Rights Act, of exactly what that would mean, bringing labor laws into the 21st century.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really, really exciting thing that is being debated here in Washington recently. I mentioned the labor reform is not likely to happen at a significant level in Rhode Island. Fortunately, you know, we have the opportunity to do some pretty big things if lawmakers here in Washington can get their act together with full Republican leadership. One of these is the Employee Rights Act. What the Employee Rights Act would basically do is it'd be the first major update to federal labor law in 70 years. And it has a number of different provisions, all of which seek to empower workers instead of union bosses. So let me give you a good example. So, you know, and any of your listeners who are in unions know this, that once a union is voted in, union leaders themselves, they stand for re-election from the rank and file. But the union itself in the workplace, once it's voted in, never has to stand for recertification. So just to give you an example, the UAW was voted into those Detroit auto plants in the 1930s. Obviously, none of the workers who voted the UAW in the 1930s still work there, and yet the UAW has never had to stand for re-election. One of the things the Employee Rights Act would do is say that after the workforce in a shop is turned over by more than 50%, that union would have to stand for re-election, stand for recertification to make sure that today's workers still want that union to represent them. You know, it would guarantee the right to have these votes by secret ballot election instead of with these open card checks that allow union bosses to intimidate workers and harass workers. You know, it would give workers a say in having their dues deducted to be spent on political activity, that unions would have to receive written permission from them in order to do so. So a lot of these different things that basically put power and decision-making rights back in the hands of individual workers rather than the coercive union status quo.
You also, I noticed, and folks, we're speaking with Akash Chogli, who is Americans for Prosperity. Did you attend East Greenwich High School? I know you went to Boston College.
Yeah.
You did.
Public schools.
Okay.
Through 12th grade.
And you also, congratulations on being named on the Forbes 30 Under 30. That must have been very exciting.
Yeah, thank you. So that was last year. And you know, our organization has really just given me a lot of opportunity to speak to groups around the country, speak to lawmakers, grassroots organizations, and really just give a voice. And, you know, there are folks doing this in Rhode Island and all across the country, giving a voice to sort of the silent majority, if you will, of taxpayers who are bearing the brunt and bearing the cost of this growth of government and special interest influence and trying to take it back for people that it belongs to.
You retweeted, I noticed, the Wall Street Journal story on teachers in New York and just how bad it's getting some of the people to bring you back. And also, a lot of times, Akash, people don't realize, I think USA Today had said, like, last year, nationwide, only 5 teachers were fired. It is virtually impossible to get rid of a teacher. And right now, unless Governor Raimondo vetoes it, Rhode Island has a bill they passed at the Rhode Island State House. They call it the Evergreen Legislation, which means when a contract ends, it never really ends. Contracts would just go on indefinitely. This stems from a teacher's contract dispute in Warwick, that if you have a signed contract, that, for instance, that was 2015 or 2016, in 2030, that contract would still be in existence. But these types of provisions certainly don't apply in the private sector, and it only seems like selected individuals that seem to come up with these types of provisions.
No, it's exactly right. I mean, we've seen the influence of unions on our government, and basically all it does is destroy any sense of accountability, right? Basically, you know, you talked about teachers, right, where teachers are removed from one school because they're doing a bad job, and the union will get them placed somewhere else. Or even here at the federal level, you'll see, you know, employees who are doing a terrible job serving our veterans at the VA and can't be fired because of union rules, right? And you'll see when school districts have to start making cutbacks because of union policy, instead of getting rid of bad teachers, all they do is they get rid of young teachers in order to keep old ones, right? So there really is no accountability. The people who end up suffering for it are the people that they're supposed to be serving, which are taxpayers or their veterans or their students. It goes back to what you were talking about with the employee rights. Like, union rules are just simply antiquated. They're not in the best interest of people that, you know, workers in those places are supposed to be serving. They're in the best interest of union leadership. And it really is just a you know, misallocation of resources ends up happening, and just poor priorities. And it's something that I think policy leaders need to address. Unfortunately, too many of them in Rhode Island are bought and paid for by the unions. And until regular folks start realizing this and start demanding change, it's going to continue to happen at the state, federal level, and even at the local level in a place like East Greenwich. We're seeing it now happen, which has been pretty disappointing.
We're going to ask Akash to hold on for just a moment. We're going to come back to him in just a moment, folks. But again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to remind you, Dan's Place is your place. Great food, family-friendly atmosphere. I'm going to take Rob Bennett there. Award-winning wings, delicious burgers, best pizza you've ever tasted, and there's always something happening at Dan's Place. Monday night, trivia at 6:30, followed by karaoke at 9:30. Don't miss Wine Down Wednesdays, half-price bottles of wine all day. Thursdays, Mexican Day with all your favorites. Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich. Now, they're right off of Route 95. It's exit 5A. It's Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich, right off of Route 95. You just take exit 5A, and you're right there. Again, great food, family-friendly atmosphere, children's menu, delicious wings, delicious burgers, best pizza you've ever tasted, and there's always something happening at Dan's Place. Again, folks, with us, East Greenwich Boy Makes Good, Akash Choogli, who is with the Americans for Prosperity. We're going to keep him just another moment. Akash, do you notice in Washington, you know, it's tough here in Rhode Island because Congressman Cicilline is obviously against the Trump agenda. Governor Raimondo, obviously. Governor Raimondo did an interview. She said she was asked about the Affordable Care Act. She said, you know, I haven't read it, but I'm against it. And Senator Whitehouse, who's obviously very beatable, Bob Flanders, East Greenwich guy, who right now is close to 200,000. He hasn't even been announced yet. And then just the delegation. But do you get the sense that in Washington that there is more support with this Congress to try to make things easier for businesses and workers, and that the unions don't have the vice grip that they have here in Rhode Island?
You know, I don't think they have the vice grip they have in Rhode Island. Rhode Island is among the worst states in the country in terms of union control. I think the only states that really rival Rhode Island are probably Illinois and Connecticut, places like that, and we see what that looks like with union control. I think I do see a lot of, you know, the majority here in Washington, the Republican majority, conservative majority, obviously President Trump, they do have the best interest in mind, not just of business owners. I think that gets couched too often that we're pro-big business and we want to see big businesses thrive. But really the average working class person who voted all these people into office, and even I would go a step away from that and say folks who want opportunity, right? Folks who are looking for their first job, young people who want to get out of government dependency, that's really been a pervasive theme that's been really encouraging in the way they talked about these reforms. And it's about lifting people up, creating opportunity. Of course, getting these bills passed, agreeing on the technicalities is a completely different ballgame and a whole different challenge. But it's been very encouraging to see conservatives step up and say, we're about creating an opportunity society in Washington at the state level, across the country, while you see folks on the left are beholden to government unions, they're beholden to environmental groups, they're beholden to any manner of special interest organization instead of the average working class person. We saw that reflected in last November's election, and now we're looking forward to scoring some big wins to help people rise up once and for all.
Folks, he's Akash Choogli, Americans for Prosperity. How can people follow you on social media?
Absolutely. So I personally am on Twitter at AkashJC. That's AKASHJC. Our organization is online. Our website is AmericansForProsperity.org. We're also active on Facebook at facebook.com/fightback and on Twitter at AFPHQ. And we are a grassroots advocacy organization, so with strength in numbers, and anybody who wants to sign up and be a part of the movement is always welcome to do so.
Akash, hey, great to talk to you. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate that. You too.
All right, folks, there it is. Akash joining us right here on the John DePietro Show. Look at that. Jim Hindle joining us on Facebook Live as well. Well, folks, good afternoon. We will bring you the latest. This latest scandal now at the Rhode Island State House, as you've heard, or maybe you haven't heard, Rhode Island State Police now investigating a key member of the Mattiello crime family. You can read all the details at DePietro.com. You need a scorecard at this point. Gordon Fox, member of the Mattiello leadership team. He's in federal prison. Ray Gallison, key member of the Mattiello leadership team. He is in federal prison. You have John Carnevale forced to not run for office under investigation by the Rhode Island State Police. Representative Joe Almeida, some kind of campaign finance type situation. And now you have the latest, Frank Montanaro Jr., State Police confirming for Channel 12 that he is under investigation by the Rhode Island State Police. He should be fired. He should be forced to resign. He has no judgment. Why is he still in charge of a budget of $40 million is beyond me. There is no company listing right now, and I want you to understand this. Wherever you're listening to the program, from Cranston to Cumberland, from Newport to North Providence, from Narragansett to North Smithfield, and everywhere in between, there is no company, private company, that would give Frank Montanaro the authority to handle a $40 million budget. And he's being paid close to $160,000 a year. The question is, why are we allowing this? It shouldn't be allowed. The state police are now on him. They're looking into this alleged fraud that took place with the free tuition. The state deserves a lot better than the likes of that guy. And I know he worked on the campaign, and I know he probably knows a lot about Speaker Mattiello, but he needs to go. He absolutely needs to be fired, and he should go. So it is blatant. You don't have to be, a blind man at midnight could see that obviously those forms were filled out incorrectly. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show, 846-1028.
At Paul Massey Chevrolet, you get the lowest price guaranteed every day with Rhode Island's only true one price. Lease the Bolt EV for $239 a month for 39 months and get an incredible 238 miles to the charge. Great selection, top-notch service, and the lowest one price only at Paul Massey.
Chevy Bolt lease offer, $29.88 total due at signing. 39-month lease with approved credit, 10,000 miles per year. All fees included, sales tax extra.
Well, folks, it really is incredible. And those that follow on Facebook, I'm going to post even some more pictures. But this past weekend, it is incredible. I was driving the Paul Massey Chevrolet Bolt EV. It's the electric car, no gas, Motor Trend car of the year. The thing is a rocket ship. It is incredible. The power range, over 260 miles on a full charge. And a full charge, by the way, is only like $11. So it is so fast. It is quiet. It is the car of the future. And Paul Massey has it. And there's so much room. It's like a mini SUV. The 2017 Chevrolet Bolt EV. Leave the checkbook at home. Only $249 for 39 months. The vehicle is just incredible. It drives 260 miles on a full charge. Drive electric. You're not visiting any gas stations. It's the Paul Massey Chevrolet Bolt EV, and it's just incredible. And I had so much fun this past weekend. Everywhere I went, people were asking me about it. And take advantage on the one price. And right now, the one price lease on this fantastic electric crossover, fun to drive, incredible room, and lots of space. And think of that, 260 miles on a full charge. No gas expense, just $249 a month. I'm telling you, it's my next car. Stop in and see them, my friends at Paul Massey, always online at paulmassey.com. Folks, 846-1028, 846-1028. Other news, of course, Governor Raimondo, very upset. Her latest poll numbers out from Morning Consult, Governor Raimondo's approval ratings continue to fall. 846-1028. Ann from Cranston joins us on the John DePietro Show. Good afternoon, Ann.
Well, good afternoon, and what good news to hear.
Oh, I would hope that you're not upset about this with a crying towel.
So upset. You know, John, this past week has been a bad week for me because I had certain things that I tried to discuss with either a senator or a representative.
Yep.
And let me tell you, why go and vote? Because to me, in the state of Rhode Island, as I've said before, there isn't one person that you can get to if you have a problem. I'm not talking about something silly, something important. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
But they don't respond to anyone.
No.
Mattiello wants to run, and who wants him?
Yeah.
I mean, and Raimondo, I mean, she shouldn't have even won this past election.
No.
You know, and I certainly believe that if a woman is qualified, she has a right to run.
Of course.
But be honest and be generous.
She's not.
She's not one bit.
No. Nope.
I know more people that have tried to get in to see her
or
one of the aides, and there's no way. You can't even get into their phone line, nor are you doing it in Treasury now. They're making it almost as though they're just cutting off the State House, and it's only for the, so far, the elite.
Forget
it. As far as I'm concerned, in the state of Rhode Island, we don't have one person that I could vote for.
Wow. Ian, that's a strong statement.
Well, I'm being honest with you.
I hope so.
Well, I called two senators and two representatives in Washington, and I was promised to call back. I mean, I'm just a taxpayer.
Right.
Huh? I mean, I've been born and brought up here. Voted from the age of 18.
Wow.
And yet, I don't have one iota. There is a one person, and I would, if they were standing here right now, I would tell them.
Mm.
And you wonder why some of the seniors are so upset.
Yes, of course. What do you think of the fact Chafee may run again?
Oh, please, John.
I don't make anybody happy.
I think I will try to run.
And I don't know. I don't think there's just something off about Link Chafee. I don't think that's a good idea at all.
I don't think so. And, John, truthfully, I don't think any of them that want to run are the ones that we should have. We should have someone like that gentleman that just got through, because I just got in speaking.
Yes.
He was wonderful.
Sure was.
And, I mean, he's the kind of a man you would need.
Breath of fresh air.
Right. They have no, those politicians that we have right now have no desire and no love for the state of Rhode Island.
No, no. But that Raimondo, man, have you ever seen more of an egomaniac?
Oh, John.
She.
I don't know. You know, it's just awful because, you know, you feel bad for people who are in need and they try to get to, like, even a councilman, maybe.
Right.
And they don't get to them. Once these people become politicians.
Yep.
They could kill us, but comes election time, I have more people that want signs on my door.
That's right.
And the only one was Mr. Trump.
Look at that.
Because.
And he's trying, Ann. They're trying to stop him, but he's trying.
You know what? Those people are idiots. They're ignorant, and they just don't want to accept it. You know, once a Democrat, always a Democrat.
We're going to leave it there, Ann. Thank you, folks. It's the John DePietro Show. Stay with us. Another big hour ahead. 2, actually. 846-1020.